Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined by George Goncalves, MUFG's head of U.S. macro strategy. It's Tuesday, December 14th, 2021. Welcome back to the podcast, George.
Great to be back, John.
Always good to have you. So, George, it's pretty amazing to look back at the last FOMC a short 6 weeks ago and reflect on what was supposed to be the big event of the year, the official launch of the taper. But I mean, wow, a lot has changed since the last Fed meeting. Here we are with the Fed looking to tweak policy with an even faster taper plan at the very next meeting. I know I'm supposed to know the answer to this question as I do this for a living, but can you please explain how we got here?
No, I think if you and I were taken offline for the last 6 weeks and then presented all the information that we have so far, we'd probably be still scratching our heads asking why are they rushing to do tapering when they just started or launched the process just 6 weeks ago in their last meeting. I mean, maybe we should almost rephrase the question by asking how come they didn't start tapering sooner? And because what is, I guess, clear now is that, you know, there's an inflation problem that's starting to become more entrenched. And I think it finally has kind of become more abundantly clear in the halls of the Fed that they need to react faster to it. And they cannot, you know, take, which in their, you know, prior regimes, they would, you know, take a much longer time to assess the risks and drag things out a little bit longer. Now they're kind of being forced to speed things up, which is, you know, puts them in an uncomfortable place, which they don't like to be in. But at the same time, they've realized that they can't wait and they need to really get ahead of this, or at least start to prepare for how to address this, you know, inflation. Even if it's a near-term boost and bump up in inflation, the risks are now that it could become even, like, you know, more permanent, not just in, you know, temporarily entrenched over the course of the year. And I think all of this has dawned on them after seeing multiple CPIs that continue to rise higher, wage pressures, as, you know, depicted in the ECI. There was just a lot of things that finally clicked. And again, I go back to the rephrasing of the question. I mean, a lot of us, or many in the markets, were already sensing this. You know, it just took them longer to get there. The one subtitle to the piece of my Fed preview is that, you know, this Fed spent all year focusing on financial conditions. I call it the FCI ball, that their eye was just on FCI. They were trying to avoid a taper tantrum 2.0. And by doing so and dragging it out, launching the tapering in November when they could have done it earlier, has really, you know, put inflation in the limelight. So I think it's just this culmination of it, and it's happening at year end. I, you know, would have thought, and I would wish they could have done it sooner, but here we are nonetheless. And I think, you know, we are definitely going to see them speed up the process. And this, you could almost call it like an insurance policy. They have to be a little bit more hawkish in the beginning to avoid having to do more later.
Yeah, thanks for that. And just to kind of plug your piece, since you mentioned it, you have a great chart in there which shows the Fed's balance sheet, you know, sort of adjusted for the reverse repo facility, which really kind of shows you in some sort of, you know, parallel universe, if they would have, you know, kind of stopped, you know, QE and as opposed to relying on the reverse repo facility, you know, safety valve, you know, you can really see like sort of visually what it could have looked like had they started to taper earlier. But to continue, as a reminder for our listeners, we are recording this podcast on Tuesday, December 14th. That's the day before the conclusion of the December FOMC meeting. George, as you mentioned, just published the FOMC preview. Could I trouble you to quickly recap the high points for our listeners?
Sure. So at the upcoming Fed meeting, there's a number of agenda items that the FOMC has to put in place or clarify. We're going to get a statement release, as always. Chair Powell will have his press conference. This is also a quarterly a Fed meeting, so they release their summary of economic projections, the SEPs, which includes the dots as well as their growth, inflation, and unemployment outlooks. And, you know, all of those three things, which is a mouthful to say and to cover in a short time, is what we're going to get tomorrow. Our anticipation of what to expect is, Chair Powell earlier in the month mentioned in testimony down in DC that they should, we should retire the word transitory. Well, they're going to have to officially retire it from the statement, so expect that. And I guess what they replace it with is going to be as equally important. I don't know if they necessarily, even if they get rid of the word transitory, doesn't mean that they don't believe in it. So they need to find a way to deal with elevated inflation in the near term or maybe medium term, but eventually an inflation that will glide back to more of their targets. So perhaps introducing a balance of risk approach of, what are they looking at for near-term factors that are causing inflation to be higher than normal? What are more permanent factors? And I think if they provide that sort of balance of risks framework, that would go a long way. Anything short of this, though, they do lose an opportunity because each meeting, it's almost like, again, like as we mentioned, they're fast forwarding their policy changes, and it's almost like they're being reactive instead of being proactive. And so they need to be, not just marking to the market's expectations, but maybe getting ahead of it by saying, hey, we realize this is a serious issue in the short run, medium term, and we're going to tackle it this way. By doing so, that should then contain inflation expectations, both in the market side, but also eventually that will make its way into consumers. And consumers have actually been increasingly worried about higher inflation. You're seeing it in a lot of these surveys that are conducted, like the New York Fed does one, the University of Michigan. They're all showing near-time highs for inflation expectations from the consumer. Once those become entrenched, then that's really an uphill battle for the central bank. So this is really in now or never, the next couple of months, quarter, for them to really put in place a plan of action to deal with inflation. That's going to require them to be more hawkish than they'd like to typically on any given day, but it's definitely necessary. So that's going to change. We'll hear more clarifications of what that all means when Chair Powell delivers his testimony at the press conference afterwards. They're going to also have to codify the faster taper going from $15 billion to $30 billion. That will put them ending sometime in March, depending on the open market schedules that we'll get. And really opening the door for hikes potentially starting in Q2. What else we'll get is the actual interest rate dots, the infamous dots on rates. At the last update in September, they had less than one hike as a median dot for 2022. We think they're going to have to go at least up to two, maybe even 2.5. And again, this is not a coordinated effort, but all of these forecasters, realize the environment that we're in and what it would take to slow down inflation. And so in general, I would think the group as a whole would push up their forecast, which would then amount to roughly 2 to 2.5 hikes at a minimum. And then the rest of the hikes for the balance of the other years will stay basically the same, which would put the Fed hiking about 8.5 times or 9 times, let's call it, over the course of the next 3 years, which is a good amount and roughly in line with what they did at the last cycle. If they have to do more, they can do more. We've been hearing from some more on the outside of the core of the committee, and Fed President Bullard mentioned it once, and this is a view that I've had as well myself. Perhaps they might even have to do the balance sheet reduction part and use that as a form of tightening. And as you mentioned before the question in our conversation, that I have this chart about what the Fed's balance sheet would look like if they had just stopped QE sooner. And I think there's a decent probability in my mind that they could do quantitative tightening sooner than they did last time and not wait 2 or 3 years and do it sooner. And that could be in lieu of a hike or two. So the Fed has options. They have to get all of this stuff out there. The quantitative tightening will not be a base case for this meeting, but I think over the course of next year, we're going to hear more about it as an alternative. And hikes are coming. So they have to set the stage for hikes, taper faster, be serious about inflation, And I think that'll be construed as a hawkish kind of outcome.
Yeah, and that quantitative tightening would be a real curveball for the markets. I mean, as you and I have talked, the forwards out past 2023 are extremely flat. So that would be it really interesting to see if that's how that plays out. So, it feels like between the FOMC and the other central bank meetings this week, I believe there are six G7 or G10 rather central bank meetings in all this week. That has to be the last catalyst for the markets in 2021. I think you mentioned earlier that you're working on finishing up your 2022 outlook, and we will plan on doing a series of podcasts around those themes. But I was thinking maybe you could give us a little taste here. Just generally, what should market participants be expecting post FOMC?
Sure. So I think let's see what we get tomorrow or on Wednesday when the Fed meets, and then the other central banks, which I don't think will be as hawkish. And so we're really at this point where the Fed's, again, starting the tightening process before everyone else, really, except for some of the other central banks down, like New Zealand, for example. But of the major developed markets, the Fed, again, is going to lead the charge. But it will require a synchronization of tightening, because there was a synchronization of easing over the course of 2020 and 2021. Basically, every region around the world did both fiscal stimulus as well as a heavy dosage of monetary policy to help finance it, as well as keep financial conditions very loose. The unwind of that should also be should be coordinated, because if it's not, the dollar will take off in a very big way. And that's not something the Fed wants either. So I think, as we think about the inversion of some of the curves that we've been looking at in the euro dollar space, even just the flatness of the general treasury market curve and how low long-term rates got, even lower than I thought they were going to be. And I've been relatively bond bullish on average. We're much lower than fundamentals would warrant, especially ahead of a hiking cycle. And so I think, there could be just in the weeks after the Fed, as we prepare for 2022, a partial unwind of this. We pulled forward a lot of the hikes. We pulled forward a lot of the flatness that typically happens when the Fed is actually hiking, not just talking about hiking. And they haven't even talked about hiking. They haven't even sped up the taper, for goodness sakes. So we've basically been in a fast forward market. Everything's been pulled forward. I think post-Fed, you kind of get this reprieve and curves let off a little bit, steepen back into the year end. And then that becomes more of a level playing field for the start of 22, which is looking to be, again, as exciting and interesting as 21 was, probably more than we'll, be able to forecast. We don't have a crystal ball, but I can tell you one thing, that volatility definitely is going to pick up. We're going to see both that in terms of the macro conditions and how central banks are reacting to inflation. There's so many different topics to go over, which we'll cover in our 2022 outlook. But I think that the linkage between central bank action in reverse, financial conditions tightening, and balancing how much tightening the central banks have to do is going to be a give and take, which will be a learning process all throughout the year.
Yeah, well, I know this. I know 2021 has been a learning process for me personally. I suspect you might be right about 2022. And for more information, I would definitely encourage our listeners to check out George's December FOMC preview and market implications piece, as well as the upcoming Macro to Markets 2022 outlook, which, not to put you on the spot, George, but which should be released next week. And again, if you are not receiving George's strategy reports directly, please do reach out to your MUFG sales coverage or get in contact with George directly. Great stuff as always. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks, John.
And thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.